Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Megillat Esther Perek Yud, the concluding chapter in our story. This very brief chapter serves as an epilogue to our story. We are told that King Ahasuerus placed attacks upon his empire, including the mainland and the islands, and all his mighty and powerful acts, and a full account of the greatness to which the king elevated Mordechai, are recorded in the chronicles of the kings of Persia and Media. For Mordechai the Jew was second to the king Ahasuerus, great among the Jews and pleasing to multitudes of his brethren, seeking good for his people and speaking words of peace for all his children. The third and last verse of this chapter comes to explain the inclusion of the first two verses in the Kitvei HaKodesh, the Holy Scripture. They describe the success of King Ahasuerus, which is relevant to our story only in that this success was engineered by Mordechai, who had proved himself loyal and worthy to the king, and used the influence he acquired through his wise counsel for the benefit of the Jewish people. It is noteworthy that the text describes Mordechai as Ratzui Lerov Echav, pleasing to the multitude of his brethren. Ibn Ezra explains the term Rov Echav as most of his brethren, but not all, for in his words, Ki ein yecholet ba'adam leratzot hakol, it's impossible for a human being to please everyone. Nevertheless, Mordechai, dover shalom, lechol zaro. Mordechai spoke words of peace for all his descendants, even those who disagreed with him. Our story concludes with the presentation of Mordechai as a paradigm of true, unselfish Jewish leadership. As our story draws to a close, I would like to share a concluding insight. Many scholars who study Megillat Esther highlight the numerous parallels between the story of Mordechai and Esther and the story of their ancestor, Yosef HaTzadik. In both cases, the handsome or beautiful heroes or heroine were forced into exile at a young age, came of age in a foreign culture while fiercely maintaining their Jewish identity. In both stories, the heroes were initially degraded, their modesty challenged, placed in a life-threatening situation, and ultimately found favor in the eyes of the king and rose to positions of royalty and importance. In both stories, we find parallel details. 9 lonely years spent in the palace before their placement there became relevant to the Jewish people. The handing over of the king's signet ring, leading the hero through the streets, proclaiming his importance to the king, dreams or disturbances in the night, and ultimately the hero or heroine being placed in a position he or she uses to benefit his or her people. There are numerous linguistic similarities between the stories, so many that books have been written on the subject. I'll share just 2 examples of these manifold parallels. First, when Yosef suggested to Paro that he collect grain during the 7 years of plenty to store for the 7 years of famine that would follow, the text states in Bereshit 41, verse 34, Ya'aseh Paro vayafked pekidim al ha'aretz. Let Paro act and appoint officers over the land, and continues in the following verse, Ve'yikbitzu et kol ochel, and let them gather all the food. Similarly, we find in Megillat Esther the suggestion of the king's servants in chapter 2. Vayafked hamelech pikidim bechol medinot malchuto, ve'yikbitzu et kol na'ara. Let the king send officers throughout his kingdom and gather all the young maidens. Later in the story, when Yehuda approaches the as-yet-unidentified Mishne Lamelech, the man whose authority he equates with that of Paro himself, who has threatened to keep the young Binyamin with him while the remaining brothers return to their father in Eretz Canaan, he states, "How could I go up to my father without the youngster? Pen er'eh bara asher yimtza et avi, lest I see the evil that will overtake my father." How could we ignore the poignant echo of that phrase in Esther's plea to Ahasuerus in chapter 8? Ki echacha uchal viraiti bara'a asher yimtza et ami. How could I possibly stand to see the evil that will overtake my people? It is clear from the sheer multitude of these textual parallels that Esther and Mordechai, in writing their story, deliberately planted these linguistic similarities to draw our attention to the relationship between the two stories. What message were they trying to relay to us? The answer to that question lies in the glaring difference that exists among the overwhelming number of similarities. We have mentioned numerous times the blatant omission of the name of Hashem from the story of Esther and Mordechai. In contrast, the name of Hashem is constant in the story of Yosef. At every step of the story, throughout the entire string of apparent coincidences that lead Yosef to Egypt and before Paro, the name of Hashem is constantly on his lips. "It is not I who interpret dreams, rather Hashem," to the wife of Potiphar when she tried to seduce him. "I cannot lie with you, for how could I sin against God?" Perhaps most poignantly and most significantly, upon revealing himself to his brothers, Yosef emphasizes three times in the same speech in Bereshit Perek Mem He, chapter 45, "Al yichar be'ineichem ki mechartem oti heina, ki lemichya shlachani Elokim lifneichem." "Do not be upset because you sold me here, for Hashem sent me before you to provide for you." Two psukim later, in verse 7, "Vayishlacheni Elokim lifneichem, lasum lachem she'erit ba'aretz." "Hashem sent me before you to ensure your survival." And once again, in the next verse, verse 8, "Ve'ata lo atem shlachtem oti heina, ki ha'elokim." "It is not you who sent me here, rather Hashem." Yosef is clearly and emphatically stating that it is not we, human beings, who direct the events of history. Rather, it is Hashem alone. It may appear to us that we are putting events in motion for our own reasons, but in reality, we are only fulfilling the ultimate plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only following such a clear precedent could Mordechai say to Esther with such forcefulness, "Revach v'hatzala ya'amod la'yehudim, u'mi yodea im le'et kazot higat la'malchut." "Certainly the Jewish people will be saved. And who knows whether it is not for this precise reason that you have reached the position of royalty." We can almost hear the whisper, "Remember our forefather Yosef, who reached the position of second to the king, and realized upon seeing his brothers in trouble that he must have achieved this greatness only in order to be the instrument of their salvation." Yosef lived in a time of open and revealed miracles. He grew up in a household in which angels came and went. Hashem spoke openly to the members of his family, and there were no mysterious coincidences. Thus, when his life was overturned, and he found himself at the bottom of a pit in consequence of what might be seen as just a series of coincidental circumstances, he immediately understood that there was a greater power at work, and he must be playing a role in a divinely authored drama. Esther and Mordechai recognized that even though they were living at a time of Hester Panim, an era in which Hashem did not manifest himself openly through revealed miracles and messages, nevertheless, Hashem is still a constant and caring presence in our lives. Thus, they wrote the Megillah in such a way that we could not avoid noticing the parallels in the story, and thereby understand and be comforted by the knowledge that even in exile, even through thousands of years of exile and persecution, Hashem is always with us, watching over us and sending trusted messengers to ensure our survival and success. He is there to be found by all who seek his presence. All we have to do is look for him and turn to him in our hour of need. I would like to thank you for joining me throughout the study of this enchanting Sefer, and I bless all of us that we should be privileged to perceive the hand of Hashem in our lives, both as individuals and as a nation, until the day when Hashem once again reveals himself openly with the coming of Mashiach and rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. May it be speedily in our days. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.